everyone, to this podcast of Author Interviews with the Working Writers Coach. This is Suzanne Lawrence, your host, and today I'm going to be speaking to a fellow author here in Florida. Her book is called The Diary of a Floridian Mom, and her name is Miriam Ishmael. So hi, Miriam.
Hi, Suzanne.
Yeah, this is really fun. Just so listeners know, you and I met at an author event in St. Lucie. Gosh, that was a couple of months ago, I think, by now, or at least 8 or 9 weeks ago. And yeah. I bought a copy of your book, and was reading that, and just wanted to get back with you today and do this little interview. I enjoyed the book a lot. So I want to ask you a couple of questions about your background so people here that haven't seen the book yet know about who you are and what prompted you to write your book. So just tell us a little bit about your background briefly and then why you decided to write this book, The Diary of a Floridian Mom.
Yes. Well, my background is very different from writing and from books. I come from a business background. I have an MBA and an almost PhD in finance and economics. And before I became a mom, I was a financial advisor, and I used to be an economics instructor in college as well. But then when I had my first son, I just decided to leave the corporate world and leave my studies and just become a full stay-at-home mom. And the reason I wrote this book is actually a message for mothers and mostly stay-at-home moms and how you can kind of make the most of your domestic routine. And you do accomplish goals for yourself on the side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just give us a short summary of the book.
Well, the book, I'm just going to read what I wrote on the back of the book. It's a true diary of a real stay-at-home mom who's longing to find something that will take her away from her super busy, repetitive, and nonstop domestic life. Will she find what she's looking for, and what could it possibly be? It's a book written from real-life incidents and experiences that every mom can relate to. It's about everything that's precious and important, motherhood, family, friendship, career, decisions, and all that our daily lives bring upon us. So it's basically, and any mother that reads this book, she's going to feel she can totally relate to its incidents, to its experiences, and I'm hoping they get the message I'm trying to deliver at the end of the book. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think the message sort of, too, was to enjoy your life, because all through the chapters in the book, you've got these nice little quotes and things that talk about, you know, enjoying our life, and everything has cracks. Yes. Through the cracks, light gets in, just different things like that. So it's pretty evident that, you know, we should all enjoy our life. It's funny, though, in the back of the book where you say you're longing to find something that will take you away from super busy, repetitive, and nonstop domestic life. And I have to say, that's one thing. When I read your book, I was just exhausted for you by the end of the day.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, this is the case for most stay-at-home moms. It's a very domestic lifestyle. And you don't want to feel trapped, or you don't want to feel crazy. So that's the message I'm giving. On the side, I found something that kind of mellowed it down for me and gave me this positive, energetic, colorful outlook in addition to my domestic, loving motherhood life, you see.
Right. You want to tell people what that is?
Well, yeah, I founded an online business, and it's called Miriam's Leggings. And really, I design leggings, and I embellish them and all that, and that kind of gave me the passion I was longing for. So I work on them a few hours a day when I can, and to me, that really, really gives me a boost of energy. It gives me a boost of, you know, creativity, and I totally enjoy it. And that was my message. Every mom can find something on the side that would make her feel a bit, you know, different from the domestic, emptying the dishwasher and doing the laundry and all that. Because it gets to you after a few months, after a few years. You know, you just feel you want to do something more with your life.
Yeah, well, particularly someone with your background who's created and been in the corporate world and that kind of thing. I mean, that's sort of a culture shock to just sort of leave that world and, you know, be the cool world and all that kind of thing. So that's really different. You know, one thing I have to say, when I was reading your book and even listening to you talk now, because even though you and I've met in person, it was so loud where we were that day, I couldn't hear you really that much, and we didn't get a chance to talk that much. But something I felt that I kept wanting to get from the book, and I never got it, was where you're from. You always mentioned your background and going to Europe every summer to visit your mom and stuff, but you never told us where that was, and you never really told us your background. Like, you know, what country are you from? What is your background? I always wanted to know that. Now, you don't have to tell us specific towns and things like that, but can you tell us just a bit about that?
Yeah, well, the thing is, why I left it out, it's on purpose, because I wanted every mom to relate to it, and I don't want the book to be associated with a certain country or a certain culture or a certain way of living. It was including all moms globally, you see, and I just wanted every mom that reads it, she's going to relate to my story, and she's going to relate to what I'm saying, especially mothers that, you know, have families abroad outside the United States, and they have to go visit them and all that. So, yeah, I kept that out because I just wanted everybody to kind of relate to it and not specific people to relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I felt like I could have related to you a little more if I knew you a little better by knowing that. I felt like that left a between us, and I was like, gosh, where is she from? Where does she go in Europe? She speaks French. There were just so many
maybe in my second book I would clarify that.
you need to go into that, because I think that's the kind of thing that keep readers reading. Not only do they make a connection with you because they can identify with you, but even if there are certain things I can identify with you, if I know these details about you, I feel like I know you better. And then that keeps me wanting to read. So I kept waiting for that to be revealed all throughout the book. And when it never was, I was like, oh, wow, I just don't feel like I know it as well as I wanted to. So that was just my only kind of, negative criticism, as I just wanted to know more about that kind of thing.
Thank you for your feedback. Definitely maybe book number two will mention or be more specific about the whereabouts and where to.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you mentioned wanting to write this book, and then it was so funny because, as I'm reading this book, and like I said, I was exhausted just reading about everything you did each day. And then to think that not only did you write the book, but you started a little business, Miriam Blegging. So tell us, what was the most difficult part of writing this book when you're doing all this stuff?
Yes. Well, writing the book was highly, highly pleasurable for me, because I would sit there with my thoughts and I'd express what I'm feeling. I'd express what my day was looking like and all that. And I had the ultimate goal of really getting it published. So to me, it was really, really a journey of discovery and a journey of looking to the end of it, you know, getting the book published and getting it out and getting my message out to the moms. And I kind of related it hand in hand with my online business, because that was the message I'm giving. I wanted to give a success story. And I was journaling everything that was happening with me, and everything in that book is nonfiction. And that was the ultimate message, that you can do things with your life if you're organized, if you have time management control, and you can really accomplish a lot, despite the busyness of the family and the kids and the house and all that. So
it was interesting. Well, I liked where you'd put when you were doing the carpool, you know, the kids pick up from school. And you made use of that for writing time. So I remember there was one day when something happened, it was too hot or something, and you couldn't turn on the car air conditioner. I forget what it was. And you missed your writing time there in the carpool line, and how that was kind of disappointing, you know. But I thought, wow, you know, you really showed that when you want to accomplish something, you do need to make the most of your time. But if you'll do that, you can accomplish great things. And, you know, most people, when they're sitting in that carpool line or listening to music or just, you know, reading a magazine or something like that. So, wow, just think, everybody listening, you can write a book sitting in the carpool line if you keep your mind on it.
How productive. It took me 3 years. So this was my routine for 3 years. Imagine the number of hours. I wait every day 1 hour during pickup time. So over 3 years, imagine the amount of hours you wait if you're sitting and doing nothing.
That's 5 hours a week writing time. Most writers don't write 5 hours a week. So that's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, it worked out beautifully for me, and really it inspired me, and it made me feel so productive, and that 1 hour for me was really, I looked forward to it because it was peaceful, it was away from running around and chores and all that. I was forced to sit still and just be peaceful, you know, And writing was really very, very enjoyable for me at that point.
Yeah, it's probably kind of good that you were just sitting there in the car because you couldn't be distracted by a bunch of other stuff then while
yes.
you're writing. That's a great idea.
Yes. And so it really worked out. Yes, what really
yeah.
worked out. At the time, my second son was just a year and a half, and he was still napping. And his nap mm-hmm. would fall at that time, so he would be napping from 1 to 2. So for me, it worked out nice. So he's sleeping peacefully
yeah.
and nice and quiet, and I can actually write.
Yeah, boy, you're really organized. That's great. That's wonderful.
I try.
So tell us, what has been the best part of being a published author now?
It's very, very rewarding to see your work published. Because when mm-hmm. you publish it, you feel this is how the people can get hold of it. And your message would go through once the book is out. And
mm-hmm.
it's every author's dream to get published, to have his book out or her book out. So it's really a beautiful feeling. You feel so accomplished. You feel so, I don't want to say proud, but yes, you're pleased with yourself because you really feel
mm-hmm.
you've accomplished your goal.
Yeah, well, you have. Gosh, 3 years writing an hour a day, 5 days a week. That's
yes.
really great. Yeah.
Yes.
So we kind of know your writing process now, and you mentioned maybe a second book. So are you continuing to write now that you've got Miriam's Leggings going and you've got this book
yes.
out? Or
yes.
So what
well,
are you working on now?
Yes, I'm hoping I can, you know, keep updating my story. But now things have changed for me because my little one is not a little one anymore and he doesn't nap anymore. But I'm finding other time frames where I can write.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, good. So this has been wonderful talking to you. I want to let people know they can go to your website. It's miriamsleggings.com. That's just M-I-R-I-A-M-S, leggings, L-E-G-G-I-N-G-S.com. They can also find you for your author, your book, on Facebook if they go to facebook.com/Miriam Ishmael author page. And you spell Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M. Your last name is I-S-M-A-I-L, and then author page. So they can find you there. And then they can learn more about the book. The book's also available at Amazon.com, and I'm sure they can maybe get it from you if they go on Facebook and they'd like an autographed copy or something. That would be good, too. So this has been great. So before I let you go today, tell me what's your best tip for aspiring authors?
Well, I'm a recently published author. I'm not very experienced yet in the field, but I can say one thing, a tip that I use myself, and that is always stay focused, stay determined, believe in your thoughts, believe in your ideas, and always strive to achieve your goals. It's doable, and it's really all it needs is a bit of determination and a bit of time management, and it is possible to get your work done and your book published.
That's great, yeah. And for anyone listening, if you read Miriam's book, The Diary of a Floridian Mom, you're going to see that you can accomplish anything, particularly you can write a book. I don't care how much time you think you don't have. If she can write a book in 3 years in the carpool line, you can write a book some way during the time. So that's great. So once again, the book is The Diary of a Floridian Mom. We've been talking to Miriam Ishmael today. So Miriam, thanks so much for being with me, and best of luck with the book, and best of luck with Miriam's Leggings and all your books to come.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. It was really lovely talking to you, and thank you for having me.
Great. Take care. Happy weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Author Interviews with the Working Writers Coach. For more author interviews, visit bestauthorinterviews.com. Each week, I interview a published author about his book, the writing process, and the business of writing. If you're a writer, join my mailing list now at morningnudge.com. And if you're a published author and you'd like to be a guest on my podcast to talk about your book, send an email to Suzanne@workingwriterscoach.com.